Have you ever had someone in your life that you knew by a unique name? When I was growing up, in my neighborhood, there was a man, an elderly man. We called him Tookie. But I always knew him as Tookie the Gardener, because in his house, he had this huge vegetable garden. And what he used to do is invite all the kids in the neighborhood to help him in the garden. His wife would give us cookies and lemonade. And when we worked in the garden, he would let us take some cucumbers and some tomatoes home to mom and dad. But to this day, I know him as Tookie the Gardener. I couldn't tell you what his real name was. He was Tookie the Gardener. In much the same way, Jane from State Farm, Flo the Progressive Girl, Bob the Builder, Dora the Explorer. Our person tonight that we're going to be studying in our Chapter 11 Hall of Faith is known in much that same way. But most of the characters that we've talked about are not specifically attached to their occupation. We know that Noah was an ark builder, David was a shepherd, Isaiah was a prophet, Esther was a queen, Joseph was a carpenter, Peter a fisherman, Matthew a tax collector. And these names, they're mentioned numerous times in Scripture, but they're rarely attached to their occupation, unlike our faithful character that we're going to learn about tonight. Turn to Hebrews 11, 31. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Now, Rahab is mentioned 6 different times in the Word. 5 of those times, she's tied to her occupation. She's called Rahab the prostitute. She was involved in selling her body, selling sex for money. It's considered the oldest occupation in the world, also probably the most vile occupation in the world. Yet God's word makes no attempt, none, to cover that up. Although over the years, some people have tried. Even in my Bible, when I read Hebrews 11:31, and I look back into Joshua, and there's a little tagline, footnote. Instead of prostitute, it says, or innkeeper. Because how dare the godly men stay at the house of a prostitute? They couldn't possibly. But the Hebrew word in the book of Joshua was zana. You know what it means? Prostitute. The Greek word in Hebrews 11:31 is porne, which means prostitute. There's no covering up. God was clear. This is Rahab the prostitute. Why is that so important? Why does God want us to know her occupation? Why do we need to keep it in the forefront? Because we serve a God that is no respecter of persons. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. We're witnesses through Rahab the prostitute of God's sovereignty. Because he saves who he wants to save. It's not up to us. Our God is a God of second chances. In Rahab's story, we witness divine grace because our God takes shame and turns it into glory. The story of Rahab's faith, it breaks down our excuses. We don't know much about her other than that she was a prostitute. and that she lived in a pagan city. But those things don't really seem worthy of being among the heroes of faith. So what is her story? We're introduced to Rahab in the second chapter of Joshua. Now last week we studied the crossing of the Jordan River and the falling of the walls in Jericho. But tonight's story actually takes place before that. Joshua has decided to send two men into Jericho to spy out the land. So we're going to pick up her story, second chapter of Joshua, starting in verse 1. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. He instructed them, "Scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho." So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. But someone told the king of Jericho, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land." Rahab was apparently well known in the city of Jericho. Word traveled quickly to the king about the happenings at her place. They were keeping a close watch on her. And now we're about to see why she's listed in the Hall of Faith. Let's pick it up again at verse 4. Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, "Yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them." Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax that she had laid out. She just lied. Wait, so she's in the Hall of Faith for lying? So lying's okay? Yes, yes. No, lying is not okay. In fact, her lying is not commended at all in this part of her story. But what is amazing is that she's risking her life to save these two spies. In much the same way that the Christians during the Holocaust, when they would risk their lives, say, "Jews, what? There's no Jews here." It's very similar, the same thing. The lesser of two evils. The mention of her lying is merely a reminder that we can relate to her on a human level. We're all imperfect. Every person that we've talked about in the Hall of Faith was a sinner and imperfect. We can relate better that way. She's not commended for the lying. And if we focus only on the fact that she lied, then we miss the whole point of her story. Because Hebrews 11:31 says she's commended for her faith. Listen to this declaration of her faith. Let's pick up in verse 8. "Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk with them. 'I know the Lord has given you this land,' she told them. 'We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things.'" Listen closely. "For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below." She declares her faith in the one true God of Israel. But how'd she get that? She's living in a walled-up pagan city. There's no scrolls with the word of God written down on it for her. There were no other believers around her to share that word. There were no family, generations sharing stories of how they'd seen God work. There was none of that. She wasn't aware of any laws that had to be kept, prayers that had to be said, or any other religious routines that were designed to draw closer to God, to make us more holy. The whole city of Jericho has heard of this God and his people. They've heard about their walk on the dry land through the Red Sea and the annihilation of the Amorite kings. But they don't believe. Rahab does. In her story, we witness the power of God. It was through the Holy Spirit that Rahab was brought into the saving knowledge of the one true God. We see it in the New Testament when Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. When Jesus asks Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are Jesus. You are the Messiah." Listen to what Jesus says back to him. "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." This is how it was for you and me. None of us came into the saving grace of Christ through just mere words. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake." See, God reveals his truth to those who are seeking him, for those whose hearts are open. If we have ears to hear, his voice can be easily heard. If we have eyes to see, we're going to see him everywhere. But until the power of the Holy Spirit intervenes, the words in this book are just words. We don't see, we don't hear until the Holy Spirit intervenes. But Rahab saw, and she believed in the one true God because the power of the Holy Spirit intervened in her life. And then it was by her faith that she risked her own life to protect the spies. And it was by that faith that she was saved. Let's pick up again in verse 12. "Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live, along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families. We offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety." The men agreed. "If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land." Then, since Rahab's house was built into the town wall, she let them down by a rope through the window. "Escape to the hill country," she told them. "Hide there for 3 days from the men searching for you. Then when they have returned, you can go on your way." Before they left, the men told her, "We will be bound by the oath we have taken only if you follow these instructions. When we come into the land, you must leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you just let us down. And all your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the house. If they go out into the street and are killed, it will not be our fault. But if anyone lays a hand on people inside this house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath in any way." "I accept your terms," she replied. And she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. This story just seems crazy. On the surface, it's beyond human reasoning. It just doesn't make sense. Why would a prostitute risk her life to save two men of the enemy that are coming to attack? And why would two godly men put their lives on the line to save a pagan prostitute that they didn't even know? They even offered their own lives as a guarantee of her safety. But that's how faith works, when it's under the divine sovereignty of our Heavenly Father, when it's under the divine power of God. That's how faith works. It turns everything upside down. Rahab was a woman that was wrapped up in a sinful lifestyle. Yet she was regenerated and she was converted by the Holy Spirit before she even met the spies, before they even came to her home. Well, how do you know that? You can't say that she was saved before they got there. Maybe it was the same. They were on a reconnaissance mission to save her. Let's go back to verse 6. She had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax that she had laid out. The lesson in flax. Flax was used in ancient times to make clothes. It was linen, and then they turned it into clothes. Proverbs 31:13, when they talk about the noble woman. The noble woman. She was taking flax and she was spinning it into linen to make clothes. If Rahab had been continuing in her old profession, there was no need to collect flax. Rinse it, lay it out. That's a lot of work. And she had enough flax to cover 2 grown men. That's a lot of flax. She had to have been doing her new job for quite a while. See, when God entered in, when she discovered the true God, that's when her world changed. She wasn't the prostitute any longer. She had a new job. Do you ever come across a person on the street and you just start talking and you say, "What do you know about Jesus?" And they say, "Oh yeah, I know Jesus." And oh, because there's just a spark there. That ever happened to you? Because God brings you together. See, God knows who his children are. He sent those spies to Rahab. That wasn't an accident that they stumbled across her. It wasn't a coincidence. God sent those spies to Rahab so she could be protected from the death and destruction that was about to happen in Jericho. Rahab's actions by faith proved her faith to be genuine. She didn't just make a declaration of her faith. She didn't just say, "Your God is the one true God." Her faith was a daring faith. She put her own life on the line. Her faith was an obedient faith. She did exactly what the spies told her to do. And it was a saving faith. You see, Rahab hadn't seen any of these rumored events. But she believed that God revealed himself to her. And she believed not only just that he existed, but she believed in his character. She believed in his sovereignty and in his power. She knew that God was going to deliver Jericho into the hands of the Israelites. She stated it in her declaration. She knew it because she knew who God was. She knew what God was capable of. Her faith gave her courage to look death right in the face and then act on behalf of the spies to protect them. Courage comes from that kind of unwavering faith. And that's what Rahab displays for us. Because Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." That's what we see in Rahab. She knew who God was. She believed it with all her being. And then when the walls come crashing down in Joshua 6, in verse 25, it says, "So Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house, because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day." By her faith, she was adopted into God's family. She became one of the Israelites by faith. When James speaks of faith without works is dead, he mentions Rahab as that example of a righteous faith. James 2:25 says, "Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different robe." See, Rahab's story is one that offers us hope. The fact that she was a prostitute just magnifies God's grace. No one is too far from the reach of God. Her story stands out as a light to all of us who felt broken, who felt bruised or unworthy. For every one of us that looks in the mirror and says, "There's no hope for me," remember, Rahab at this moment is with a Father in heaven. God's grace is offered to everyone. We have to first accept it and then act on it. Rahab's story teaches us that even in the midst of judgment, God reaches out and he saves those who turn to him in faith. Be encouraged, church, because it's the unworthy ones who go to heaven. The ones who think they're good enough, they're not headed there. See, Rahab gives us this message of enormous hope. Because the worse you feel about yourself, the more hope her story brings you. There's no pit too deep for God's love or grace to reach you. There's no stain on your soul that the blood of Jesus cannot wash away. And the story of Rahab shows us that God uses every one of us. We're without excuse when it comes to being used by God. One of the things that we'll hear people say is, "Oh, but I don't know enough about God. I don't know enough about the Bible to be useful." What did Rahab know? She knew that the God of the Israelites was the one true God and that he could save her. That simple knowledge just ignited in her a daring faith. That same kind of faith that should light a fire in us to move our judgment of holy and unholy, to enlighten our understanding of who our God is and just move us, propel us into acting on it. Rahab acted on that faith when she welcomed the spies and sent them safely on their way. And it was that faith that caused her to hang the scarlet cord outside her window. She acted with an obedient faith, even in just the silly, mundane things. Hanging a cord on the window. She wasn't looking to be a spiritual superhero. She was simply honoring the one that she knew as the true God. She chose to serve God right where she was at, shining God's glory by her faith. Because the measure and the size of our faith isn't as important as the object of our faith. We have a God that delights in saving sinners. And he delights when we respond by faith in obedience to him. When we join him in his work. When we are involved in his purpose for the kingdom. He's glorified. How glorious is our God? Rahab's story didn't end in Jericho. Her story just got started. when we read through the ancestral lineage of Jesus Christ in Matthew, look whose name appears. Starting in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon. Her name no longer listed as Rahab the prostitute. She's Rahab, the mother of Boaz. Wow. Do we serve an incredible God, one of grace and mercy that just washes us clean, picks us up, puts us there, and says, here, walk this way. Rahab is a reminder to us that we all matter to God because of who we are in Him and who we are becoming in the power of the Holy Spirit. She's an inspiration and a witness for every one of us of the transforming power of the Spirit in us. Let her story be a reminder to us before we look upon another with judgment, lest we think ourselves more worthy than another. Because Rahab's story is our story. The details may differ slightly. The sins might have a different name. But God intervened in the same way. He bent down to pick us up, to dust us off, and reveal Himself to us. God loves the Rahabs of this world because it's through the weaknesses that He does His greatest work. Just look at the life that Rahab lived by faith. Her name, listed as Rahab the prostitute, was a reminder to everyone of God's grace. She knew that God had saved her. She knew what God had saved her from. God saves us from a life of sin too. It just so happens that our sin hasn't become displayed for the whole world to see. But you can be sure that in the Lamb's Book of Life, next to Rahab's name, prostitute is crossed out and replaced with beloved. What is keeping us from living that kind of faith life? Sold out to the one who saved us, forgave us, and made us blameless. See, Rahab's story makes us a little uncomfortable. We tend to squirm in our seats a little bit when we say Rahab the prostitute. Because deep down inside, we want to think that we're not that bad. Maybe we're just a little bit better than that. Well, I have bad news for you. You're not. You're not that good. You're just as bad. But the good news is, Jesus came. He died on the sin, on the cross for my sin, your sin. He was buried and He rose again in victory. It doesn't matter what sin is in your past. It's been covered in the blood of Jesus. To live a life of faith, we have to leave our past at the cross. And then step forward in grace. And that's what Rahab teaches us. That's why she's in the Hall of Faith. Because it was her faith that set her apart, that made the difference. We're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to have a time. We're going to have a special song played. And if you would like someone to pray with you, come up to the stage, and someone will pray with you. Leave it at the cross. Don't take it on. It's not your burden to carry. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being in this place with us. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who washes our past away, so that we can walk forward in grace. I thank you for your word that shares this good news with us. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us as we read it, Father, and enlightens us and teaches us. Father, I ask a blessing upon every soul in this room. May they come to you with open hearts, Father. May they come to you just bearing their soul so they know, Father, how much you love them. That they leave this place encouraged, that they leave this place with just a spring in their step because they know that they are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. In your precious Son's name.